Turn in the book of Acts to chapter 10. Turn in the book of Acts to chapter 10. I'm just going to take the next few moments to be able to look into the scriptures and for us to be able to see a change of perspective. Now, if you're in the chapter of life that I'm in, or if you pass through this chapter of life, or if you've ever been a kid, you know that children's menus at restaurants always have dot-to-dots on them. There's always a dot-to-dot on a children's menu. I've actually gotten to be really good at these dot-to-dots on children's menu, and I can whip any five-year-old at tic-tac-toe, known to man. I'm good at it now. So on these children's menus, usually you can figure out the dot-to-dot before you actually even start. You can see what the picture is. You figure it out. So as you move through the dots, you're making the whatever because you already knew it was the whatever. Well, in dot-to-dots on the children's menu are different than the dot-to-dots of life. If you got your listening guide, I've given you a dot-to-dot. We're going to give you a dot-to-dot, and you're going to fill out the points. So my first point, dot one, you're going to write in between those two ones, you're going to write what the point is. Then you're going to flip it sideways. You're going to write dot two to dot two, and then dot three to dot three, and it's going to end up being, you already figured it out, it's the cross of Jesus Christ that gives us all the purpose that we need in life. We're going to see a change of perspective with an angelic visit to a man named Cornelius and an angelic visit to a man named Peter. And we're going to see how God connects the dot to dots. He is in the business of connecting the dots. Let's look, if you will, in Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 8 is where we'll start. There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion who was of what was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man and feared God along with his whole household. He did many charitable deeds for the Jewish people and always prayed to God. About 3 p.m, he distinctly saw in a vision from an angel of God who came and said to him, Cornelius, verse 4, looking intently at him, he became afraid and said, what is it, Lord? As he told him, your prayers and acts of charity have come up to a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call from Simon, who is also named Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Lots of people named Simon. That gives us good research that the Bible is true. In this time period, there's lots of people named Simon. So we've got it here in the scriptures. Verse 7, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, he had called out to two of his household slaves and a devout soldier who was one of those who attended to him. And after explaining everything to him, he sent them to Joppa. Cornelius has an angelic vision. Cornelius responds to the vision and says, oh my goodness, I'm going to send my best people out. Here's your first dot. God knows where you are. God knows where you are. Dot number one, God knows where you are. He knows your address. He knows your cell phone number. He knows your passwords to everything on the internet that you've ever bought. He knows the passwords that you can't remember. He still knows those passwords. He knows every hair on your head. He knows how many hairs you used to have on your head. God knows all of the things that he has in his view of everything. He sees all things. He knows exactly where you are. And he goes to Cornelius, who is a Gentile, a religious man, a very good leader, a centurion, meaning that he led at least 100 people. Some people say upwards of thousands of people. And he knows exactly where he is and goes to his house. Here's what had happened. Cornelius was very religious, but did not have a relationship with God. He was religious. He gave. He prayed. He did a lot of religious things. His head was religious. His feet were religious. His hands were religious. But his heart did not have a relationship with God. So an angelic vision comes and says, you're going to find this man named Peter. We'll see Peter's vision in just a bit. But what is happening in the book of Acts is you've got it going out like an earthquake. You have first, it's in Jerusalem, then it's in Judea and Samaria, then it's to the utter parts of the world, so that it finally makes it to Houston, Texas, to Cyprus, to Siena, to downtown, to the Loop. It goes out. It not only moves as an earthquake geographically, it moves as an earthquake in people groups. It goes from first the Jews to then the Samaritans that are a little bit Jewish and a little bit Gentile, to then finally the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10 is when the gospel, the good news of Christ, is going out to the Gentiles, Cornelius. So Cornelius is a Gentile, which is most of us, non-Jewish, is going to receive the gospel. He's going to hear the gospel. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that Christ came to pay for our sins, that's how you move from religion to relationship. It's not just doing stuff for God. It's letting God do something for you. And so Cornelius is going to have his perspective radically changed. It's not just works, it's grace. It's not just for the Jews, it's now to the Gentiles as well. Miracles happen when we trust God to connect the dots. God right now is connecting dots in your life. You can look back on how he's connected dots. He took you to this city, to this place, to that job, to that person, to marry that person, to have that child, to do that job, to live in that house, to buy that car. He's connecting all these dots. And many times we get to places where we look at dot one and we look at dot two and we think there's no way we can get in between these. How can we do that? We'd have to run and long jump 90 miles to get in between those two dots. And that's when God shows up and he does a miracle. He says, I'm not asking for you to hike between the dots. I'm asking you for me to lead you between the dots. I want to take you to the next dot. I want to take you with a new perspective to a new place. God does miracles. He takes us miraculously from one dot to another when we abide in him and not in our efforts. Last week, we talked about in Acts chapter 9 that there's miracles that happen of physical healing. I called out to you as a church and I said, bring down your prayer cards and lay them on the altar. And all of our campuses and here at the Loop, they laid them on the altar. We had 2,700 plus prayer cards that were laid at the altar. I love that about our church. And let me tell you why. That shows that our church is real. We don't just think that miracles are for somebody else and the guy next to us needs prayer. We know we need prayer. We need miracles and we're not too cocky to admit it. We humbly walk before the Lord and lay it down. That's a great sign for our church and the health of our church. Well, we begin praying, and I told you last week, we're just going to wait, and we're going to hear the stories of what God does. And this week, it has been so fun to see the emails coming into the church. Let me give you five miracles that have happened just this week from our prayer time. First miracle, this man writes, this is Sunday afternoon at 2:20, this email came in. Greg, thanks for the message this morning. God answered one of the miracles I prayed for. I've prayed for God to give me an opportunity to serve him again in the pastorate ministry. He answered, and a church in Houston called me this afternoon and asked me to become their pastor. He laid down the card and said, I want to be back in the pastorate ministry. And a church called him and asked him to be in the ministry. And guess where he is today? Today, he's preaching in that church right now today. Who'd have thought it just a week later? It's a wonderful Hispanic church in Iglesia something or other somewhere in our city. It is awesome. It's great. I'm sure he's doing a super job. The second miracle we got here, it says this in the subject line, my miracle prayer request came true. Please read. Brother Greg, it goes on. It says, we were against the wall, our backs were against the wall, as we needed to be out of our current business location by May 30th. Unbeknownst to each other, my wife and I both asked God to grant us this miracle. And to be honest, as soon as I set the card on the podium, I was ridden with guilt that I didn't ask for a miracle for somebody else that was much more in need and suffering from illness. Well, today my loan went through, and even more miraculous, it came through from a lender who had written me off 2 months ago at a great interest rate. The first person I called with tears streaming down my face was my wife, and we thank God, and we want to thank the church as well. God bless you, and thank you for First Baptist and the wonderful community. So here he is with his back against the wall in his business, and God provides, and he says, that's a miracle of what the Lord is doing. Another person, number three, this girl writes down, I'm a member of Houston's First, and I go to the downtown campus, and I've been searching for the past year for a full-time teaching job. As I laid down my prayer request, that was on the top of her list. She laid it down on the top of her list, and then on Tuesday, she got a call from a school. She was interviewed by the school, and she says, by the end of the day, I've been offered and accepted the fourth grade position to come completely by God's hand. God put this together. I believe our prayer time on Sunday was important because it was a way of acknowledging God and my need for him to provide. So God gave her a job. What an amazing thing. This is my favorite one, if I can have a favorite miracle. Came in on Monday morning. I wanted you to know how fast God answered my prayer from yesterday. My 25-year-old granddaughter, who is a drug addict, has been gone from home for 4 weeks, and we've had no idea where she was. You feel the pain of that? I was on my knees so many times asking God to save her and to bring her home. That is what I wrote down on my prayer card. And on Sunday afternoon, the prayer card went down Sunday morning. On Sunday afternoon, she came home. She came home. I love this next line of faith. She still needs our prayers and can get healed, but we can now help her. Thanks to the Lord and your wonderful message today. Then lastly and finally, someone laid down a card on behalf of their friend that had been suffering with illness and then told his wife about it as they were in the hospital. And this is the wife's email in return to the prayer request being laid upon the altar. My husband has been on oxygen full time since Christmas. Both of his doctors hinted that perhaps he could transition one of these days. He was able to be without the oxygen tank for an hour or two several days ago. But yesterday and today, he has been oxygen tank free all day long. Even during the hour that it took him to exercise, I call that a miracle. And then she speaks to us. Please let your pastor and the people praying know that we appreciate them being direct line to God on our behalf. We are grateful. Amazing stories of God miraculously connecting the dots. Now in Acts chapter 9, as we learned last week, the reason that that happens is not so we can go, whoa, spooky, kooky, no way. It's so that we could turn to the Lord. It builds our faith. We got many more prayers to pray, don't we? Let's turn our faith to the Lord and say, yes, bring that granddaughter home. Yes, heal that person. Grant that job. Help that business. That's just a handful of them. God connects the dots. He knows exactly where you are. And you're going to see, and I'm going to see, he's going to connect it with Peter as well. He's going to connect it with Peter as well. Cornelius, he knows exactly where he is. And he gets a brand new perspective. Let's look at dot number two. It begins in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. The next day, do you see the dot connecting? Cornelius has a vision, and the next day, Peter has a vision. The next day, as they were traveling and nearing the city, Peter went up to pray on the housetop at about noon. Then he became hungry because he's a man and it's lunchtime and wanted to eat. But while they were preparing something, he went into a visionary state and he saw heaven open up and an object come down that resembled a large sheet being lowered to the earth by its four corners. And this is an odd sheet. Watch in verse 12. In it were all of the four-footed animals and reptiles of the earth and the birds of the sky. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "No, Lord." I want you to circle that in your Bible. "No, Lord." Peter said, "For I have never eaten anything common or unclean." So he's saying, I'm sticking to the Jewish dietary laws. Verse 15, again a second time a voice came to him and said, "What God has made clean, you must not call common." This has happened three times, and then the object was taken up to heaven. Peter has a vision of a linen cloth that comes down. Some scholars think that it's the same material they would use to make a sail. So Peter, the fisherman, is seeing a sail coming down, possibly. And it's got all of these animals that in Judaism you're not allowed to eat. And he says, "No, Lord, I'm going to stay with my dietary laws." What God is doing is he's connecting Cornelius' vision. He's a Gentile, not a Jew. Peter's got a message for you. It's the gospel. He's saying to Peter, the gospel is going past the Jews to the Gentiles. So don't say what God has made clean. Don't say it's unclean. Don't say because they're not Jewish that it's not going to be for them. Take the dietary restrictions and put them to the side because we're going to the Gentiles. And Peter makes an interesting statement. He says, "No, Lord." Peter says no a lot. If you were to look back and you were to see in the scriptures, you would find that Jesus said to him, "I'm going to go to the cross and be crucified." And Peter says, "No, Lord." Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Then he says to Peter, "I want to wash your feet." And Peter says, "No, Lord, you can't wash my feet." And then he finally comes around. But he says here, "No, Lord, no, I'm not going to open this up. I got my Judaism. I'm sticking to it. I'm not eating anything that I'm not supposed to eat. That's what I've always done, what we've always done. And no, Lord." The phrase, "No, Lord," do you see a problem with that phrase? "No, Lord." It's an oxymoron, isn't it? If you say no, then he's not Lord. If you say Lord, then you don't say no. If you tomorrow morning at your office say no, boss, you might not have a boss anymore because you might not have a job anymore. If he's your boss, you don't say no. Talk about it, of course, I understand that. But no, Lord does not work together. Dot number two, turn your listening guide sideways, write it sideways, here it is. Yes, Lord. That's the right response. Yes, Lord. You can't say no, Lord. It doesn't exist. It's not right. He's either not Lord or you're not getting your answer right. The right answer is yes, Lord. I want us to say that together because it doesn't matter what the question is. It doesn't matter what God's asking you to do. The only right answer is yes, Lord. Yes, boss. Yes, si, senor. Yes, you're the one that's in charge. Yes, Lord. That's the only deal. So you ready? Count of three. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. Again, one, two, three. Yes, Lord. Again, one, two, three. Yes, Lord. That's the only answer. Now, Lord, what's the question? The way you connect the dots in your life is by saying, yes, Lord. And yes, Lord, changes your perspective. Peter's perspective was changed. Cornelius's perspective was changed. Do you and I need a change of perspective? Seeing the earth from space changes your perspective. I was driving this week to my son's Little League baseball game. We were in the championship game, and we were driving, and I had my coach's shirt on and my coach's hat on, and we had the uniform and the whole deal, and we're driving, and we're listening to kind of pump you up music, and I'm driving to the game, and as we're listening to this music, I realize that I'm nervous about going to my son's Little League 10 and 11-year-old baseball game. I'm like, why am I nervous about this? And the reason I'm nervous about this is because I want us to win. That's why I'm nervous. I want everybody to get a hit. I want everybody to make the play. And then I start thinking, I'm 42 years old. Why am I nervous about an 11-year-old baseball game? It's about the kids. It's just supposed to be fun. And then I say to the Lord, but winning is a lot more fun than losing when you're in the championship game. And it wasn't some kind of weird sinfulness. It's good to be competitive. It's good to want to win. You should want to win. If you don't want to win, don't play. Can you tell them type A? Sorry. But I'm nervous about this, and I say, Lord, let me give this to you. This is crazy. We can have fun. We can win. We can do all this. Everybody wants to do their best, all these sort of things. And I started thinking about this. What if I was one of the parents in Moore, Oklahoma, that had lost a child? I thought about that when I was driving. I thought, what would their feeling be on the way to this game? This is what I thought. I thought, if I was one of those parents, and I got my child back, if you will, and I'm driving to this game, here would be my perspective. I'd sit in the stands all night long. I wouldn't mind if our team was beat 50 to nothing. I'd watch my child and every other child strike out all night long to know that at the end I could hug them and drive them home. That, my friend, changed my entire perspective of the game. We got to the game, and I just want you to know, we won. And we got the trophy. But their perspective was different. Cornelius and Peter's perspectives are absolutely rearranged. Peter, it's going to the Gentiles. Cornelius, it's coming from the Jews. The gospel is for everybody on planet Earth. The gospel is for all people. It's not being religious. It's having a relationship with Christ. That Jesus Christ, a Jew, lived out the entire law, died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, lived the life we could never live, died the death we should have died so that we could live all of life with Him in eternity. But listen, it's not just for eternity future. Jesus wants to be with you today and have you walk through the dots of dots that He puts together. The gospel, Peter was sent to the Gentiles. Peter and John went to Samaria. We go to people to be able to share Christ. And then lastly, my final point, we see it in verse 33. The dots and dots will all connect in verse 33. Let's look at it. Therefore, I immediately sent for you, Cornelius saying this, and you did the right thing in coming. Do you see the dot to dots connecting? So we are all present before God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord. God connects the dots. Cornelius has a vision. The next day, Peter has a vision. And now the Jew, Peter, is standing with the Gentile, Cornelius. And he's saying, I want to hear this message. And we'll see next week the message that Jesus Christ has come for you and your household as well. And Cornelius comes to Christ. His religion becomes relationship. Here's the deal. God is the master at connecting the dots. And the way He connects the dots is dot three. You ready? Here it is. Big point. Follow God's will to find God's will. Follow God's will to find God's will. A couple years ago, you remember I wrote a book called Finding God's Will. One of the big points in that book is to find God's will. We follow God's will. The way you find out dot two is be faithful on dot one. Then let God take you to dot two. And when you get to dot two, step to dot three. And when you get to dot three, step to God, dot four. God's will is discovered by those who are following and seeking God's will. It's not just 20 miles out on the horizon. It's right now, today, doing the next right thing, glorifying the Lord. So the way you find God's will, Peter, is you say not, no, Lord. He says ultimately, yes, Lord. The way you find God's will, Cornelius, is saying, okay, send for Peter, send for Simon Peter. And now God connects the dots. The way you find God's will is to follow God's will. And hindsight then is 20/20. You look back and you go, that's what God was doing. But how many of us, we're trying to scribble our own thing and then ask God to put the dots in to make our own picture that we already drew for him. We're handing him a picture we already drew. And asking him to connect the dots. And he says, no, I'm the one that connects the dots. We got my son this far beyond the children's menu at the restaurant. It's called Extreme Dot to Dots. And Colonel Williams, I thought it was perfect with the astronaut on the cover. Just perfect. Well, the Extreme Dot to Dot book, I want to show you one of them. I'm sure you'll be able to look and to figure it out. This is one of 1,103 dots. You could see it. You know exactly what that is, right? It's the map of the world. Never figured that out in a million years. Flip to this side here. On this side here, I'll do an easier one for you. 574 dots here on this, extreme dot to dot. You figure it out? It's obviously a telescope. This here on this side, 889 dots. See what it is? It's Neil Armstrong standing on the moon. We've got the American flag here. We've got the helmet here, the spacesuit here, Earth off his shoulder here, standing on the moon. There's times God will show you what he's doing just a tad bit. And there's times when you don't have a clue what he's doing. And our role as believers in Christ is to allow him to change our perspective and connect the dots. Life, my friend, is extreme dot to dots. Romans 11, verse 33 says this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments. And listen, how untraceable his ways. You can't figure out what God is doing. Let him change your perspective. And when he changes your perspective, guess what happens next? He'll begin connecting the dots in your life. Do you need a new perspective? Has it been about religion and not relationship? Is your relationship with Christ growing in the ways that it should? Do you have a church home that you call a place to really plant your life? Let God change your perspective just as if you are in the space station looking back at Earth. Seeing God connect the dots in your life as you follow out God's will, and what the central piece of it will be exactly what happened in your listening guide. It's found in the cross and the power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we ask you for even more miracles, Lord. Our answer to you is yes, Lord. That's our answer. Doesn't matter what the question is. Doesn't matter what the pain is. The answer is yes, Lord. Congregation, would you say that with me? Yes, Lord. Father, would you connect the dots? Would you do your work? We need your help, Lord. For those that need to trust you in salvation, may they come to you in faith. Others to come and pray at the prayer rails, to join the church, to plant their life, to quit saying no, Lord, and trying to balance their Christianity with their selfish will, but to declare yes, Lord, to you. Change our perspectives so that we will see that you are connecting the dots of our life. In Jesus' name. Amen.